In this episode, we dive into the fascinating world of e-commerce art galleries with the co-founder of OverstockArt.com, Amitai Sasson. Amitai, along with his brother, embarked on a journey in 2001 that transformed the way people buy art online. Overstock Art stands out for its hand-painted oil paintings, including reproductions of masterpieces by Van Gogh, Monet, and works by emerging artists. Amitai's technical background played a pivotal role in building the company's online infrastructure, reflecting his deep involvement in every facet of the business. The episode explores the unique aspects of Overstock Art's operations, including their in-house fulfillment, custom framing services, and rapid shipping, which sets them apart in the competitive market. Amitai also discusses the challenges of inventory management and the use of innovative algorithms for demand planning. Additionally, the conversation touches the importance of customer retention strategies in e-commerce, the evolution of Overstock Art during the pandemic, and the future of social commerce and specifically TikTok. Amitai's journey from playing a professional volleyball to leading a successful online art gallery exemplifies his passion for e-commerce and continuous improvement. This episode offers insights into the complexities and triumphs of running a thriving online business in a specialized market. Let's get started. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Amitai, super excited to have you here. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Eitan. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on this this amazing podcast. I'm really excited.
Thank you. Thank you, Amitai. I know you've been in the business for so many years, and you've been also successful in the business, which is also a good thing to do, right? So maybe for the audience to get to know you better, maybe we can start with who are you? What are you working on? Some of your background?
Sure, yeah. I guess our biggest success is our longevity. I've been doing this for a really long time. So a little bit about me. My name is Amitai, and I am from Israel originally. And we started a company called OverstockArt.com about 22 years ago with my brother. And it's a pure play e-commerce art gallery that we started back the end of 2001. And and I've been doing e-commerce ever since. So I've been through all the different trends and the ebbs and flows of e-commerce. And this is a field that I'm very passionate about.
So, I mean, you are a founder, owner, also operator. You've been dealing with the back-end side of things, front-end side of things. You have a very, really unique perspective for more than two decades, right, in the industry. So what Overstock Art is all about?
Yeah, so my side, I came with a technical hat. That's more of my focus. But as someone who built all the back-end infrastructure of the organization trying to optimize throughout the years, you really get to touch every facet of the business, from customer-facing side to management side and production side. And so I've been through the entire stream of the business trying to optimize for all these years, because in e-commerce, we don't have the luxury to be good at some things. We need to be good at everything. For us, you know, marketing, of course, needs to click, but also operations. We need to be really optimized with everything. And that's something that we continuously strive to get better at.
So let's try to dive in. Tell us more about your customer profile. What's the operation behind it? How do you manage, you know, the fulfillment side of things? Because I know it's very, very interesting what you do. So let's try to describe it.
Yes, sure. Overstock Art is our claim to fame is our hand painted oil paintings, our product line. We offer reproductions of famous artists like Van Gogh, Monet, Klimt, along with up-and-coming artists, artists from around the world, a part of our Artist Become Artist program. So we offer B2C. We're a B2C company primarily. And so we offer customers a wide range of art, and we complement that with our framing. And that's a separator for us, is our ability to custom frame on demand and be able to ship a hand-painted oil painting to the door, framed, ready to hang of the customer in less than 3 days in the United States. And that kind of separates us from, you know, the other players in our market. But it also holds a lot of pressure because we hold our stock in-house because we, you know, in order to fulfill, and we do our own fulfillment. We don't have a 3PL or anything like that. The company is in Wichita, Kansas, and we have a very large facility. Space isn't a problem in Kansas. And so we have a very large facility and a complete custom frame shop. And so we have a lot of materials management alongside with the regular e-commerce stuff that goes on a day-to-day.
Interesting. And I know you also have a kind of an offline or omni-channel strategy already, also through partnerships. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, sure. So overstockart.com is our channel zero, I'd say, of sales. But in addition to that, we believe that you need to be wherever your customer is. And in the United States, most of the time it's Amazon. So we are also Amazon vendors, where we supply Amazon's different DCs. And alongside with that, we work with many, many other big brand retailers in the United States, like Macy's, Kohl's, Home Depot, and others. And so when you buy on their site a hand-painted oil painting, most of the time it's going to come from us. And so we do that drop shipping. And so here now you go into data management becomes a big issue, right? Because you want it to be streamlined, inventory, fulfillment, everything needs to, you know, you have, you know, we have 10,000 different SKUs and such framing options. So it becomes very, very hairy. So we try to optimize on that all the time.
And what are the challenges that you see in terms of fulfillment side of things that usually you need to obviously deal with, right?
Yeah. So for us, you know, when you sell on 20 different channels, you need to be up to speed as far as the expectations of that channel, also, you know, on the shipping account that you're going to be, I mean, all that, all the little complexities of that. So we work with data transferring from the retailers into us. And so we have to keep that fulfillment line, keep that organized in that way. And then inventory, right? We want to make sure that we have just the right amount of inventory so we can supply all this forecasted demand. And so that of course is a huge challenge when you have, you know, a really long tail of inventory.
Yeah. So how do you manage this, I would say, difficult balance of availability versus low inventory that everyone, you know, looking for? How do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the secret sauce, right? Because as a retailer, you know, 60% of our cash sits in inventory on average in the United States.
Yes.
And so in order to be profitable, you need to keep that inventory low, but keep high availability, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be able to not be out of stock when you know the stars align and a sale's about to happen.
Yes.
So keeping that in mind, we developed an algorithm that basically we basically built a forecasting algorithm to do what we call demand planning. And we automated that throughout, you know, our entire SKUs. I told you, Eitan, I told the story behind it, you know, the algorithm based on Bayes' theorem, which is a very, it's a very elegant theorem. Bayes was some sort of monk or something back in the 18th century. He had this amazing, simple, theorem basically saying that the probability of something occurrence happening is based on past probability of that, of an occurrence. And so it keeps on learning this. And that's what's nice about it. Basically, it keeps on learning as it gets more information. And you can base certain probabilities with a certain degree of confidence, even based on very little amount of information. So you don't need a lot of information to get some sort of a probability. And so we kind of based this, of course, with many different, you know, there's like other algorithms that you put on top to do what's called smoothing out of data. And then you you build a model on each and every SKU in your inventory. And so you keep learning, and then you start grading things, and you can grade your, you know, your top 200 or your donkeys, you know, the ones that you're, you know, probably going to be phasing out. Mm-hmm. And so all this is completely automated. And we with our vendors, which are, you know, the art studios. And so everything is kind of, streamlined like that. So
amazing. Sounds to me like a new startup can be founded here. Or not this topic, no?
Yeah. Well, actually, we did spin off some sort of a startup with that. We have, we call it Communicator Base. You know, based on our experience, we built this and basically doing supply chain management as a software as a service. So you have the suppliers, they connect to the to Communicator Base with you. So, you know, no more Excel sheets and emails going back and forth, and the data learns, and you basically by connecting it to your QuickBooks, you connect it, and then mm-hmm. all of the data keeps flowing in, and you build out a model that you can base, all your purchasing coming into the business.
Interesting. And you've mentioned previously that you're not using any 3PLs. You believe in in-house, you know, warehousing, in shipping, inventory management. And what were the consideration and why you took the decision eventually?
Yeah. So Overstock Art is not a pick and pack operation. You know, we have production in the background, but also I have never, you know, I've worked with many e-commerce brands because I've been to the other side of software, and so I've heard no one likes their 3PL vendor. I mean, I've never heard anyone say anything good about their 3PL vendor, but
okay,
but yeah, because it kind of gets out of their hands, so you don't know what they're putting in the box. You know, that control of your box is super important. You know, for us, we know how much it is to create a new customer today, just so expensive. So we need that experience to be amazing. You know, like I said in the beginning, we can't afford to be not good at something. So we need to give them a great product, everything top notch, and get it in the door soon and have the, you know, a certificate of authenticity in the box and have some sort of extra messaging to help them with, you know, caring for his painting and things like that. So we love controlling the box.
Yes, interesting. I mean, we are currently in an era which is like post-pandemic, right? So everything worked in the pandemic, during the pandemic, but now, I mean, brands and companies are looking to reduce number of SKUs, reduce markets that are not profitable, trying to zero in and on what's working and what's not, and, you know, make the strong stronger. Are you experiencing the same process? What is your experience from the, you know, pandemic times to the current era?
Yeah, so the pandemic was, for us, it was a huge boom in business. I mean, of course, the first 2 weeks of March 2020, you know, everything kind of shuts down. You don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to shut down our AdWords account? Should we, because you didn't know what was going to happen. I remember, you know, our Kansas employees, you know, the frontline employees, they need to get boxes out the door. You have to get them in the facility. And so we were able to stay open for that first period and really not miss a beat. And then that era was just amazing for e-commerce, especially for people who, you know, looking at things to improve in their homes. Mm-hmm. And so art was booming. And so for us, we took that success and we basically got into different product lines. And so we're working now more with mirrors and customizing mirrors and all sorts of different products that are also wall decor related, so we can get them into our different network. And so we've built that additional line. And but I think definitely optimization needs to happen, and there is, and you need to deal, of course, with the decrease in capacity. That's always very difficult. We work based on, I don't know if you're familiar with EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, and we look at things strategically. We're using that one-page strategic plan methodologies. Mm-hmm. And we look at, you know, we try and build out a very simple strategy and keep focused on what we want to achieve in every quarter. And so for us, we're looking at as a way for us to really hold on and remember, because for us, you know, we have to be profitable. We have to stay profitable.
Yeah.
And so we keep very focused on our strategy and keeping on the optimization. But basically your constraint, when all of a sudden your constraint is not is a market constraint, then it's very tough on the business, because the constraint moved from somewhere in the production line or in fulfillment and then back into market. Then your focus now is, how do I drive traffic to the site that's going to have a good return on the investment? And so, yeah, that's the other side of the table, of course.
Yeah, so let's talk about that other side. I mean, what are you doing on this customer acquisition activities?
Sure. So for OverstockArt.com, we focus the majority of our marketing dollars, like variable marketing dollars, go to AdWords, mostly Google Ads, focusing on Google Shopping mostly. Mm-hmm. And that gets you a certain point. I mean, there is a certain, you can't get to, there's a certain amount that it can get you, as opposed to like Facebook, where you can just dump into it as much, you know, it's going to eat it up.
Yeah.
For a long time, we were very, we were spreading our dollars very thin throughout different networks. We worked with Pinterest as well. Which is a very natural place for us to be. Yes. And Pinterest, works for us very well from an organic position. So we have a lot of data, a lot of imagery there, a lot of videos and things like that. And that has been a great source of traffic for us, which is completely free. Probably our highest social network.
Yes.
In addition to that, we also advertise there, doing all sorts of campaigns with Pinterest. We also do Facebook, and we also do Criteo retargeting. We used them for a while. Some other, and of course, we do the email, and of course, SMS. Which is more of our, you know, to our direct user base.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we consolidated some of the, and also Bing Ads as well. But we consolidated a lot of this now to focus on Google Ads and Facebook. And email is probably our number one return on ad spend, you know, I guess by far still.
Wow, interesting.
We're very promotional based, so we do a lot of promotions, and we also do a lot of emails, and we believe that we just it's like this day and age, it seems like people are just getting just used to getting a lot of emails. So that channel for us, it's just a way for us to be top of mind for our customers.
Yes, and you are able to convert also through this email. This is, I think, the interesting point here.
Yeah, for us, email still is the number one way to connect to our customer. And we also do a lot of triggered emails and flows, so a lot of drip campaigns, things that are really evergreen. You know, you can build these out and keep on optimizing them. We did a really interesting optimization now with our email marketing, where we created a token. Just going back to my e-commerce stack, we're not on a Shopify store. We basically took an open cart e-commerce store and we completely customized it. Mm-hmm. So for us, everything we need to build, so we built out a certain token for every cart that is created on the site, and we connect that with our ESP, and so every email that goes out from our organization to a customer also has that, hey, by the way, you have items in your cart, go back to your cart. So it doesn't matter.
Nice. You know,
So it doesn't matter if it's an email blast that goes to everybody that's not related, not to everybody, but, you know, to all our, active customers. Mm-hmm. And so we always give them, hey, by the way, there's items, or by the way, you have reward dollars, you know, you haven't used.
Yeah.
So always keeping it personalized makes it interesting. And we see people scrolling down to the bottom to look at information. So I think this is something that is very important. Again, fighting for that new customer is so hard. You really want to keep that the current customer, you want to keep connecting with them, especially, you know, if they bought in the past and they have reward dollars, you know, you're talking about user base. For us, we hope that customers, continue coming to us because, you know, they've had a great experience. So, yeah.
Yes. In an age where it's very difficult to onboard new customers, there is a lot of focus on retention, obviously, right? So you mentioned some part of it, what you do with loyalty points and rewards and emails. How do you see the retention strategy working for you?
Our numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we have over 50% of our customers buy again. And it's not like we're selling falafels, right?
Yes. Wow.
That's super important these days to keep your customer happy. We also, for our top customers, do a lot of personalized notes, like direct mail. Mm-hmm. To your top customers, send them those handwritten notes. There are some vendors out there for that. That's like these robots that write, a note and appears
nice
written. Yeah. For, sending that a little postcard like that and just do it. I would do that, for Mother's Day. If you're in my category, I would do that. I'd recommend, just take, your top 1,000 customers or 500 customers. Mm-hmm. And try it out. That's
nice.
You have to, and this is, going back to, we're not in COVID era anymore. You know, we have to be scrappy and find that those areas that we can,
it's very nice. I mean, this human, connection activities, because we are in AI and bot era, right? So people want to feel that there is there's another person on the other side, right?
Yeah. We always talk a lot about AI being injected into e-commerce, and I think that it's on the way. But I've been reading these long and cheesy texts that people are writing about things, and it just something about it still kind of feels ingenuine. So
yes, it's gonna get there.
Yeah, I mean, if it's great to make you okay, give me like 10 ideas of this or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. that's amazing. But for real copy, there needs to be still a human touch, I think.
Yeah, so you cannot copy paste, of course. And the amount of content that has been created since OpenAI launched ChatGPT is like, I think I heard that in the last year, the amount of content that was created is similar to the last, you know, prior 20 years or so since the online, internet started, like in 1 year, which is crazy. This is why people aren't, they don't have any availability for opening emails, reading, getting cold calls or getting cold messages. It's, I think we're in a different era right now, which is people are looking for to go back to the basics, looking for this human touch, right? Mm-hmm. Building relationship, go meet others in exhibitions and conventions. So I think this is something that will still find it very, very important. And in the US, and that also, like primarily most of the retail activities are still offline, right? I mean, relatively to the US, mm-hmm. the online part is not that high like in other places like China or some other places. Yeah. So plenty of growth on one side, and growth is also going to happen in other channels like social commerce. And how do you see, I mean, is this something that you in your radar trying to sell? I know you're already selling more than 10 channels, but is it something that is in the strategy, like adding more and more channels to sell?
Yeah. So I think that definitely there's every time, like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I always try to find this arbitrage in the market.
Yeah.
I remember there was a time when Google did these customized homepages that you can customize your Google homepage, and you can have different things on your homepage of the when you open your computer. So we did a little JavaScript app that you can connect to it of Art of the Day, and we had like a million views.
Wow!
I mean, it was insane.
Nice.
Tons of traffic. Yeah. little things like that you can always find. So I think I think right now the arbitrage opportunity is what's called in the shops and Facebook shops and TikTok shops.
Yeah.
And how to connect with that with content. That's the challenge.
Yes.
So TikTok shop, for instance, now connecting with creators to connect with your brand and using that basically as an affiliate channel.
Yes.
I think sounds to me pretty amazing opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we're running into a lot of difficulties with that. First of all, there's connections with your account, and then you have a managed TikTok account, which is something that we're waiting on with TikTok. But still there's some growing pains there. But that's why it's the opportunity. If you're on a Shopify store and you're selling something, something for $12 or something that's more that you can connect with, be more of an impulse buy with TikTok, I think is an opportunity right now.
Yes. But it requires creation of content, right? Video content that is, probably engaging and convertible. Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
Yeah. I think the content is the big obstacle, but also with brands with a lot of product, data management is super important. So mm-hmm. giving the promotions that would streamline, inside the shops. So feed management becomes a big issue and product management. So, So on that side, we're really good with feeds because we do it a lot in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the content area, of course, is where we need more investment and time.
By the way, Amitai, I know it was a long time ago, but what inspired you to go into this business?
What inspired me to go into this business? Well, when I think for us it was about finding a very unique product that could be that has that is very at the time there was the Blue Ocean strategy, right? Finding a way to separate yourself from the from your competitors, and at the same time, be less expensive almost. That was like the Blue Ocean strategy. And so we found that in this product where we were able to really deliver an experience getting in hand painted oil painting in relatively inexpensive to the homes of anyone. It's just not about like the rich anymore. And so we and so that's what we set forth on doing it. My background is not in art, even though I do music and stuff like that in my spare time. Actually, fun fact about me, I played volleyball for many years. Especially, I played in college at Boston State University, and we went to the Final Four in 2002. And so, and after that,
Amazing.
I played pro for a long time. And so, for me, I guess something about volleyball would have been more exciting for
Yeah,
me.
and you actually didn't have any art or painting background, right? You just identified a niche and an opportunity to differentiate. Nice.
But at the same time, I think you need to be involved in something positive. I think it's a very positive,
Okay.
we don't, this is something that brings art to your world, puts a lot of color in your space and makes people happy. We read, I like to read a lot of the reviews. And you read about people saying, I've been having this for a decade and we still wake up in the morning and we love this. So
Wow, nice.
it's a very positive business. And also we have the artist community, the Artist Become community. We have 2,500 artists around the world that we work with, and we give them commissions whenever you buy a reproduction of their art or print a canvas print of their art, they get commissions. So it's also a win-win. So yeah, you have to find your ikagi or whatever that word is.
Oh, yeah. And you also need to be passionate about it because you've been doing this for 22 years, right?
I'm passionate about e-commerce,
Yeah.
to be
Okay.
honest. I remember the first time like I sold a book online, how it felt. I mean, I
Okay.
was one of those college students that it was on half.com and on Amazon and selling textbooks for everybody in the class. So yeah, I really love that feeling and building something that that works. And I think e-commerce, we are judged by our EBITDA, our EBITDA. We're not like these software companies where they
Yeah.
have a dream. For us, we really need to be focused on that. But I think what e-commerce also gives you is time, time to do other things that you're passionate about, and think about. So that's the greatest value that e-commerce has brought me. Yeah, that's
Yes, I think this type of business, you need to be very, very focused on the details of everything that is happening, like diving, the devil is in the details. And you know that a cash flow is not a free cash flow because most of it is sunk into your inventory. So you need to be very, very careful on what you're doing. It sounds like you're doing it very well. So well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Eitan.
So what are you proud of, I mean, in your career?
Yeah, well, I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm most proud of my family. I have my three kids, and I'm thankful for the opportunities I got building out overstockart.com throughout the years, and then also building out you know, software from it, and, you know, taking basically the cards that you were dealt and trying to make the most out of it, continuing to, you know, to spin off to different interests and things, because excellence is not about, you know, it's not about thinking you're the best. It's about getting better every mm-hmm. day and just keeping on getting, you know, just focusing and knowing that you need to continue to learn all the time.
Yes. And for anyone who wants to launch a new e-commerce venture, or for anyone who's currently managing an e-commerce business, what are some of the lessons or tips you can share?
I think from, you know, if I'm starting off today, you know, I think about that a lot. I actually work with a heated jacket brand that we're starting up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you spin off a Shopify store, you put some products on Amazon, and you try to feel the market. And then, you know, if you go into a point where you're starting to see sales driving in here, then you need to start, thinking about, is this something that's scalable? And is this something that's, you know, that is this something that we can, you know, we want to pursue and we can pursue. I mean, again, if you were telling me to start a business from scratch today, I'd probably say no way.
Okay.
It takes a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work, building out that customer base. So yeah. You really need to, I think, spin up a Shopify store and try out getting traffic there.
Sounds good, Amitai. Anything else you want to add?
I guess, like, thank you. You know, really appreciate okay. it coming to talk. It's such a pleasure. I always love to geek out on these things. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thank you. It's always great to hear about success stories, and you've been doing this for so many years and dealt with so many, I guess, turnarounds and bottlenecks and challenges in every aspect of the business, and you've done it very well. So really great to listen and hear about your story. So thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Rita.
Great. See you soon, Amitai. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.